On this week's show, Carl flogs a couch and a table live on air. Richard Anderson gets in touch for the first time ever. And no joke, we're going to hear his thoughts on this show, the Carly Pilk Boys. That's right. I got in touch with Dickie Anders. We get the origin of the phrase frog in the throat and more. Also, we're going to find out where the hell was Zach last week. All that and more is coming up. Enjoy. Welcome back to the Carly Pilk Boys podcast. I'm David Ferrier.
Stephen Merchant.
We're two little Aussie radio fellas air checking the old Ricky Gervais XFM shows, obviously. I've listened heaps. This is Zach's first time. Today's show, Series 2, Episode 11, broadcast November 2, 2002. Zach, do you have a Heat magazine-style headline for this episode?
XFM debuts new show. The origins of every idiom ever.
You didn't have one ready, did you?
I did. It was a bit of a long pause. No, but I do think that educating Ricky is just becoming the history of sayings.
Yeah. Well, it's the only one that Carl has hit upon that Ricky and Steve accept or seem mildly interested in.
So it's just a classic. He's like, oh, they seem to respond well last week to that. I'll give them more of what they like.
Yeah, so he's leaning hard into that. We'll get through the air check coming up, but you might have heard it already. We're still, Zach's not in the room with me because there's still a bit of sickness lurking in your house, Zach. We missed last week's episode completely.
That's right.
How are things going at the Mander household?
My apologies, everyone. Sorry that I missed last week. We've had all these negative COVID tests, but I guess I went to the pharmacist and I was getting all these cold and flu medications, and they kept grilling me on take another rat. And I'm like, yeah, I've done that. But illnesses existed before COVID. We used to get colds. So I'm like, I think it's, we do need to remember there are more illnesses out there. But yeah, my whole family, my wife was bedridden for 5 or 6 days with some type of coldy flu thing. You know, I was saying to you, Dave, it's extremely exaggerated by having a toddler who doesn't sleep. Because, you know, when you go to the doctor, when you have these types of illnesses, they say, oh, just get lots of rest. Well, when your kid doesn't sleep, that's almost impossible.
So it drags it out and makes it worse.
So I did find myself on one of the mornings, last Wednesday morning, it was 4 a.m., and my baby's going through a sleep regression. So she just forgets how to sleep. And she woke up at 4 a.m. and was wide awake. And my wife's your turn. You got to figure out what to do. So I took the baby into her room and I just curled up in the fetal position on the floor. And she's playing with blocks next to me for 45 minutes at 4 in the morning. And it's I'm just groaning. And she's putting blocks on my head and
totally
stuff.
Oblivious. And I was to the tragic scene.
It was a real low point. It was a real low point.
Because things are mildly back to normal now. But you were even just telling me your wife's at work right now, but has messaged you saying, don't think I'm going to make it. I think I'm going to come back. So you're not even clear out of the woods yet.
No, that's a tough thing. Everything's more complicated when you have kids. That's what I'm learning.
Well, they're little
things
germ
that
machines.
Used to be simple.
So I've heard.
They are. That's what I think where we got it as well. You know, at daycare, they're just slobbering on blocks and passing them to each other. I think that's an activity that they do. So,
yeah, I've been over to my brother's house and my niece is rolling around in the dirt with no pants on, with her face, with a fist in her mouth. And I'm going, that's not hygienic. So, understandable. No. Yeah.
In a way, I'm kind of jealous of that because I'm a bit of a germaphobe, you know. I'm jealous of the uninhibited way in which they live. You know, she's just she'll put her hands in the dog bowl. She's touching the dog's faces. I'm man, I would feel so I'd be I can't touch anything until I go wash my hands. But she's just living her life.
They're little drunks. Toddlers are little drunks. That's how they behave. So yeah, we are back. And there will be a bonus episode. We're going to do a mailbag ep because I have been letting those emails stack up. And I apologize if you've emailed and I haven't replied yet. So we are going to get through a bunch of them with a bonus mailbag episode for the patrons. If you're listening to this in the free feed, go to patreon.com/CarlyPilkBoys. Also, we're doing the Brady Brett Boys on Patreon. We're doing series 2 of The Office. We're up to episode 5, the episode Charity. Still no mention of The Office on this XFM show. That's become like the first thing I tell people, friends, when I update them on what we're up to, is I can't believe Ricky and Steve never mention The Office while it's going to air.
Yeah. No mention of it whatsoever seems strange.
Yeah.
You'd think like what they would encourage you to do if it was a normal radio show is like to have an office segment every week.
Yeah.
Or either like a behind the scenes story or some type of phone in about like, did you see the secret code word or something like
and
that.
And it would have been so good. I would have loved to have heard that, a little behind the scenes story of like from the set, but whatever.
Especially because is it this week that Stephen Merchant's in it?
Yeah.
I think it is.
Well, that's the one, yeah, that will be out in a couple. If you're listening to this as it comes out, it'll be out in a couple of days' time. But in episode 5 is when the Og Monster makes his debut. If you're on the fence about upgrading to the senior producer level, which is what you need to do to access the Brady Brett Boys, just $3.50 a month, I've brought a little clip of highlights from last week's show when we talked about series 2, episode 4, Motivation. So here's what you're missing out on if you're not getting the Brady Brett Boys
again,
but
yeah,
that's true. Tim, which is like, isn't it it's a character writing,
I can't relate
but that's his delusion. Those insights and more available on the Brady Brett Boys podcast, episode 5, no, Charity.
I feel bad.
Out in a couple of
I feel bad days. Selling that.
It's weird that we didn't make a single point. I didn't even edit that at all. That was just a random minute from the show.
That reminds me of like, you know, like a really passive aggressive program director who's like, you know, done an air check and they're like, I've prepared a little something for you. Like every arm or every...
guys, see if you can hear what I'm, you know, what I've got a problem with. Some real vindictive shit like that. Shall we get onto the air check? Let's move to break one.
Yeah, Ricky, let's do it.
Ricky got a text message from Ross Noble. Now, straight away, I want to tell you that I have spoken to Ross Noble for my regular job, the radio show, because he's going on tour around these parts of the world. So I spoke to him, and then after our proper chat, which went forever, by the way, in the best possible way, he was in the car on his way to a gig, so he had time. That is what I picked up, because I kept saying, I'm so sorry, I don't want to take up more of your time. But he was
that's
like,
so amazing. Oh, usually fine. I open with, you know, how long do we have you for, just so I have a bit of context to how long we can talk.
That's a very good question to ask. But I am going to put a clip at the end of the show where I did ask him about XFM and specifically Carl and Ricky. It'll be short. It'll be edited. But it'll prove that I'm not lying. So he was on Have I Got News For You back in those days, a panel show focusing on 4 panelists divided into 2 teams answering questions on various news stories on the week prior to an episode's broadcast. So it sounds a little bit like Have You Been Paying Attention? Or Good News Week, just other comparable shows in Australia, which are often based on British formats. But I found this clip from 2003. Check out who is guest hosting Have I Got News For You.
Yeah. Hello, hello. Good evening and welcome to Have I Got News For You. My name is Boris Johnson, and when I first appeared as a guest on this show, I complained that the whole thing was scripted and fully rehearsed. I'd now like to complain in the strongest possible terms that it isn't.
Funny.
What was he doing? He must have been the mayor, was he?
He was the member for Henley in Oxfordshire.
Oh, okay.
I wondered the same
thing.
He was
the mayor of London at some point, wasn't he?
Later, though. Later.
Okay. Okay.
But crazy. A current British PM hosted a comedy panel show.
Yeah, I wonder... I don't think any politicians here have ever done anything like that.
Have ever made the leap from politics to showbiz to the heights, well, the heights of politics. I can think of one very notable example, but not from Australia, one Mr. Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, it is like, can you just imagine watching an old episode of Have You Been Paying Attention? And it's like, hello, I'm guest host Kevin Rudd.
I do remember Kevin Rudd being on Rove Live, which was our like late night show. But you know, that's as a guest. You have politicians on as a guest. They're not hosting.
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy times.
But I wonder at the time when you're with Boris, you know, like you have these fringe, I don't know the exact position he's in at the time, but you know, like there's politician positions that are like mayor's an example. It's like they don't have that much to do.
Yeah. Like they wear a sash and they open things.
Yeah,
and
they kind of become like these jovial characters where it, you know, you can kind of use them. I don't know if Boris was that at the time, but I'm just saying generally. And then they get into positions of actual power and you no longer kind of want to give them those free passes.
Well, that's what you know. Yeah, just go on.
Well, because, you know, like, you know, everyone's kind of, they love them and, you know, you get a photo out with them and everything like that. But then they start actually making decisions that impact people and you're like, actually, maybe not so cool anymore.
Well, that's what I'm thinking is that Boris Johnson was never meant to be prime minister if he was early in his career thinking, I'm just going to go on this show. I'm just going to like host this panel show. It says to me, perhaps incorrectly, that maybe his ambitions weren't what they have ended up being. But maybe I'm wrong there.
Yeah, don't know.
And also don't what know. You said about like, oh, they become these jovial characters and then they get into a position of where they start to affect people's lives. And then it's like, sort of loses that fun side. But then when they're ousted, they sort of return to that. Like Kevin Rudd is now a bit of a joke. He's playing handball against kids. He's showing up on the internet, encouraging people to date other people. You know, it sort of comes full
circle.
And
they always get so lippy when they leave. You know, always start supporting all these controversial, like, you know, or like progressive or like bills or like policies.
Saying what they really
but
think.
You actually had a chance when you were in power to actually do something about it. Like you don't get points now afterwards when you have no power to say that you're in favor of it.
And they start hanging shit on all their internal enemies within their own party. So in break two, we get a bit of sympathy from Ricky towards Carl when this part happens.
Look at his face. We might as well be talking Dutch, mightn't we, Carl? Say something quick, it's radio.
I don't understand what you want from me.
Oh, we're only joking.
That side of Ricky eventually completely goes away. That's quite nice, that moment.
I know, he's like, he's so confused.
Yeah.
You sometimes get that way in a radio studio. You just get locked. You're just like,
and completely frazzled, completely cornered. But he went for just vulnerability instead of attacking Ricky back. But then moments later, Ricky is giving him grief, saying like, oh, well, so what? Loads of people work late, Carl. So the sympathy and the empathy doesn't last very long. So this week, Carl has worked a bit harder on his ideas, Rockbusters, and educating Ricky is back. Well, he says he's worked harder on his ideas. The show's story arc comes up suddenly out of nowhere. Carl flogging a futon and table on the show. So last week, Steve was after Bruce Springsteen tickets. This week, Carl is doing a Carl boot sale.
I loved this. This was like felt really fresh to me listening to it. Like I was like, oh man, this sounds like cutting edge.
You sound
ideas.
Like such a I'm content like, yeah. director, right?
No, but you know what I mean. Like, you know, a lot of it, I have to think listening to the show, I have to think like, oh, what was it like listening to it at the time? And I think, oh, it was probably pretty radical and stuff. Because since then, we have had radio shows in Australia that have broken a lot of formats and stuff like that. But, you know, obviously these guys were early on in that and probably inspired a lot of these Australian shows. But that was the first thing I'd heard that I was like, oh, wow, I would love to listen to that now. If that was on now, that would be really... Well, it's a fine line, isn't it? Because the oldest radio idea in the world is doing like a buy, swap, and sell, because that's what they do in regional radio here. So like if you're on like Saturday mornings in like Wagga Wagga, it's like they do host this kind of, I remember talking to a guy I worked with once and he said it was really stressful. It's basically like a Facebook Marketplace or, you know, a Gumtree or an eBay or whatever, where people call up and they go, I've got a futon for $200. And he said it was really stressful because he had a little notepad and he had to take a record of like who had what and who wanted what. Like it was like just like an admin job, basically. So people have done that, but no one's really done it for humor. And that's kind of what they were going to do. It's like they were going to do this whole show selling this one thing. And to me, that was really funny.
But it was only funny because they're funny people.
Yeah, that's right. Another
show. The content itself.
The driest thing ever.
It is literally Facebook Marketplace on the radio. I'm selling a futon. So then Steve.
Can you imagine like they would have broadcast in the negotiation and like, you know, even when Carl's talking about it on air, he's like, look, I don't want any people wasting my time here. Like, this is a high quality futon. Like, he's not going to back down from getting a good price.
He's a good salesman. And even then, when he does sell it later, he starts to have that buyer's remorse, the seller's remorse of like, oh, should I have asked for more? It's something. So Steve never understood the acronym ONO.
Okay, have we got anyone?
I never knew what that meant, ONO. I thought it went sort of the nose.
On the nose.
That's good.
In reference to Carl selling the futon for whatever the price was, ONO. Do you understand the acronym ONO before listening to this? This is your first time hearing these episodes.
I do, but you know, on the internet these days, you do see acronyms all the time that you're trying to figure out. And it's kind of like doing the modern version of Rockbusters, trying to figure out what they mean. And you know, you're like, what was one recently? I don't know. Maybe it was like IKR or something like that. And I was like, I know, right. Like, you know, like you feel like you've solved a puzzle when you get it.
I asked the question to our producers, assistant and senior producers, what acronym did you not understand? Thinking that like last time I did this, we'd get some show references. But no, got two pretty good straightforward responses. One from Dan. He said, if anyone sends me a message with the acronym ATM for at the moment, I always read it as ass to mouth. Because when I was at school... A kid told us we could get around the IT firewall by searching Google Images for ATM girls and we'd get adult art with girls performing this act. He wasn't wrong. So Dan has that association from school for ATM meaning something else. And Martin says, when I was a kid, my brother told me that AD after a date meant after dinosaurs and I blindly believed it. Until I was in secondary school, despite being fully aware that it had been millions of years since we'd had dinosaurs knocking about. That's a good one.
You do have those things that go in early on. Hey, I said something on the radio the other day that it was only 2 days later that I realized. I'm like, that was just something that was told to me when I was a kid and I just regurgitated it because it just went in as a fact at five. Yeah. And it might be true. It might not be. I don't know.
But do you remember,
like,
what it was?
Oh, yeah, it was about not being able to build under power lines because of like safety concerns for like, you know, because they did, like, you know, this high voltage electricity.
The stuff we're all talking about as kids, building under power lines. Yeah, go on.
Well, no, because we're walking around the neighborhood and there was nothing under the power lines. You know, there was like houses and there was a strip without houses. And my dad just said like, oh, no, you're not allowed to build under them for health reasons or whatever. That might be true. I don't know. I never looked into it. But I said that on the radio. But I was thinking later, I'm like, it's probably just so, you know, they can't work on them if there's houses underneath them. If something happens or they fall down or I'm like, that's probably more the issue. And I was like, oh, I never looked into that at all. I was told something when I was five. I've always thought it was true. And I just say it on the radio.
Yeah, they don't want live wires falling onto houses. And yeah, and the way to string them through the streets because they need to go a long way. It's probably they just need a clear path for it. But who knows, maybe.
That's probably more likely.
We were always told, me and my brothers, that if we jumped on mum and dad's bed, they could get electrocuted because they had an electric blanket. So we're like, oh, okay, well, we don't want to do that. And that was one of those light bulb moments, I think in my 20s or something, where I went, hang on. That was just a tactic to get us to not jump on their bed. They lied to us. I really was worried I was going to electrocute mum and dad.
That's pretty funny.
In terms of acronyms, though, it's a classic, and I know this is very common, but it's a genuine one from my dad, is thinking LOL means laugh out loud. So I have, no joke, received quite serious emails where the content...
You mean lots of love. You said laugh out loud.
Sorry. It means laugh out loud. He thinks it means lots of love. So I have in the past received emails with quite serious content about the health of family members, and it's like the latest results. The doctor says there's not much more we can do. It's just about, you know, making sure that they're comfortable. And if you can get back and visit soon, we'd love it. Lol, Dad.
You've never brought this up with him. Was it never an appropriate time?
I just did. I know what he's going for. It's a closed loop.
You know
loop.
What it means.
It's a closed loop.
Fair enough. He's not doing it, you know, to other people.
No. Well, he probably is. But hey, all the best to him. A toast to my dad, who thinks laugh out loud means lots of love. Thank you, Dan and Martin, for those responses on Patreon. Next in the show, Ricky makes fun of a great radio stereotype in a competition, and that is that it's a prize that they're giving away that the host wants.
Needless to say, if you're a Madness fan, I'm sure that would be an absolute
treat.
Yeah,
you love that.
Now, I know that...
Steve, I wouldn't mind that DVD collection myself, but I can't. It's the giveaway that... No, we can't.
I've been guilty
Classic.
Of that. Have you?
What, trying to big up a prize by being like, you know, this is so good, even I would want it.
Yeah, but it's always been sincere because we've given away some sick prizes, like a car. I want a car. Can I enter? No? Oh, okay. All right, then.
Yeah, I guess there's only so many things you can say about a prize. And then radio announcers listen to other radio announcers, and I think it just becomes this like beast that feeds itself.
Yeah. Well, if there's a big tactic that's going for like 6 to 8 weeks, you know, one of those huge sort of national prizes of first class flights and a ton of money, you have to, if you're a workday announcer, you have to sell it at least twice a day, and you run out of ideas pretty quick.
I heard someone the other day doing like a giveaway. You know, it was like every caller who gets on gets $50 or something. I don't know what it was, but it was like enough to go out and get some drinks. And so what you're encouraged to do as a local radio announcer, like in a city, is like be local, make local references. So they would say like, you know, ask them where they're going to spend it or make some suggestions. But this person, I'm pretty sure, isn't from the city we're from and has only moved here recently. And I heard multiple times them suggest that they go down to Felons Under the Bridge. Like that, I was like, do you only know one bar? I'm like, you're referencing the same place over and over.
They're just a huge fan of those overpriced drinks.
Well, I do feel bad for them because I'm like, I can imagine coming to a city and they go like, make local references. And you're like, I've been working. From 9 to, you know, I come into the office, I leave at 9 o'clock at night. Where am I meant to get these local references?
There's a great Coles downstairs. you come and get a sandwich. So then it's break three. Carl has sold his futon and table, hooray. And he even managed to make the sale funny.
So the bloke said, what sort of wood is it? Carl said, sort of like a light brown colour. He went, what, beach coloured? Carl went, depends what beach you're on. Which was nice.
Got nothing to say. It's just funny.
Not B-E-A-C-H. B-E-E-C-H, right?
I didn't even think of that. Is that a colour?
Wasn't it?
Is B-E-E-C-H a colour?
Is that how you spell the wood? Isn't that a style of wood? Isn't it like saying cedar or like saying...
Well, you're the naturalist of the two of us. You're the bee expert. Okay, beech is a plant. Beech is a genus of... deciduous tree in the family. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Like beach coloured, and it looks like it does look quite sandy coloured. So I may have been misinterpreting this joke the whole time. That's probably what Ricky was pointing out.
I think Steve even says that later on.
Okay. I'm an idiot. I've learned something new. I've been listening to these episodes for over a decade. How about that? That is why doing this is worthwhile. Even I'm learning things. So then they talk about the show Superstars and then into break four. They are talking about Celebrities Fit Club again, and Carl floats this incredible observation.
The problem is, right, he does like his food.
Yeah, we all like our food.
But if he didn't do the exercise, he wouldn't be as hungry and he might not get fat.
This is a whole new nutritional outlook.
I mean, it's Carl speak, so it's ridiculous, but if... I think, like, within there, deep within there is, you could extract the thing of, like, the closest thing to a point that could be extracted is how some people go, oh, I went to the gym today so I can have 10 beers and eat a family-sized pizza tonight. You know, you think it's that sort of one-to-one.
And to be fair to Carl, I feel like the advice on, sorry, not the advice, maybe it's always been the same, but, you know, I feel like the narrative changes on this all the time. It's like, you know, the amount of opinions are out there on health are pretty vast.
Yeah.
And in the age of Instagram, that probably isn't an out there opinion to have.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's Instagram personal trainers that are pushing similar ideas.
I've seen diets that involve just sleeping, you know, like sleep your weight away. So I'm on it right now, sleeping 14 hours a night. It's great. So then Ricky offers an interesting fact to Carl that he just completely rejects.
He was just saying that Bruce Springsteen depressed him a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it reminds him of when he worked in the supermarket. And I said, it's funny how a song can do that, take you right back there. He went, yeah, nothing else can do that. I said, well, actually, smell is the most evocative sense because smell is linked to memory in the brain. And he went, yeah, they probably said that before music, though.
So it goes both ways. They both offer facts that the other just flat out rejects.
Do you have a smell that takes you back? Because speaking of supermarkets, that was my first job in, like, a, you know, a supermarket roast chicken. That takes me back to Bilo in 2003.
Oh, Bilo. Bilo doesn't even exist anymore.
I know.
That's a throwback.
And I think I was somewhat responsible.
You played your part. No, yeah. I can't think of any on the spot, but then when I encounter the smells, it is that really evocative, like, oh my God, I remember that. Particularly there's like certain women's like perfumes and stuff that remind me of
my wife
ex-girlfriends and stuff
that she used to wear. We've been together since we were teenagers, and she has this one that she wore when she was like 18, 19. And it's like that I go into a trance when you smell it. It's just like you stop in your tracks and I'm like, oh, what year is it? Where am I?
Yeah.
What is going on?
Yeah. Yeah, if I smell some pulse, I'm really transported back to my high school
girlfriend. Well, thankfully, it was a nice one that I think they'll make for a long time. You know how they have like classic, these like Burberry and like
CK1. Like
they have like, they have their classic scent.
Chanel.
And so I'm
five.
Hoping that it's made for a long time because I'm hoping that I can use it as a time machine throughout my life.
Yeah.
Like, you know, as like memories of when we were young. But yeah, I'm glad that it wasn't like Lynx Africa or like, you know, one of these.
When we're all old and bitter and hate our spouses, we'll keep things together by puffing on a little bit of the cologne that we used to wear when we were 18, just to remind them of what we used to be like. So then Steve reveals he did go to Bruce Springsteen, which is cool. Good for him. And then they move on into ads and we come out of break five for educating Ricky. Don't worry, he can do it. I'm committed to this treatment. The police are causing a bit of a stare. Now, Zach, this is your first time hearing all of these. Did those headlines, did they make you... Where did they send your mind? Anywhere in particular? Or did you just think, oh, I can't wait to hear what nonsense?
They were a bit weaker than last week. I thought last week's were pretty strong. I like Carl's puns. They're always tedious link. Often I don't see him coming. So committed, I didn't see that connection. I felt generally, though, like the facts weren't as good this week. They're a bit too just like, there's no wiggle room in them. There's no place to play. It's just like, oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, that's what it is. They've got to bring back White Van Carl. You've pointed out to me a couple of weeks ago that it's just disappeared and we didn't notice. It's the best segment. Got to bring it back. So then the next thing that happens in the show is an iconic moment. It's the first email from the show's biggest fan, Richard Dickie Anderson.
So I check the emails and we get a lot of response. A lot of people obviously want to give us feedback. Just a sample one from Richard Anderson. He's just emailed us in here, Rick, because he's been listening to the show. He says, Ricky, your show is appalling. Are you actually aware you're on the radio, or has someone just secretly stuck a microphone on you? That's from Richard Anderson. So that's typical of the kind of feedback, Rick, we're getting.
They enjoy that almost as much as they enjoy Carl.
And I think you can enjoy it. You know, we're talking about the Office going to air at the same time. You can have fun with that kind of negative feedback when you're so confident that you're a success in other areas. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like if you got that when you're 22 and you really want to be a radio announcer and you're putting all your effort into the show, that would be crushing.
Mm.
But seeing as like they're not really putting much effort in and they are successful comedians, you're kind of like, yeah, that's funny. It's so funny how delicate roasts can be. Like sometimes it can cut right to your bone and can really offend you, and other times you can be like, yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
If it is funny, if the roast itself is funny, and yeah, that you're secure enough about as they are about their standing, then it's hilarious. So I probably teased this in the little top of the show. I got in touch with Richard Anderson. I tracked him down. Someone had done so a while ago on Reddit. And I got in touch with him through his email address. And I asked him if he could just offer his thoughts on the Carly Pilk Boys podcast.
Oh, here we go.
Have a quick listen.
Wow, so we're getting roasted by the XFM roaster.
He might have hated the XFM show, but he might have loved the Carly Pilk Boys. Let's find out. Let's read this together for the first time. The email from Richard Dickie Anderson. If you want to listen to two people talk drivel about three people talking drivel 20 years ago, then I heartily recommend the fantastically substandard The Carly Pilk Boys podcast. Alternatively, you can lock yourself in a cupboard and repeatedly stab yourself in the knee with a rusty fork. It's how I spend my weekends these days.
Well, you know.
What more could we ask for? And he's not wrong.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So that's the real.
That's the Richard real Anderson? Richard Anderson. Yeah, I don't know how to prove that. Actually, maybe I'll just post the email on Instagram. Actually, no, screw it. Take my fucking word for it. It's actually the guy.
It's like it would be a strange thing for someone to go to the effort to fake.
Yeah, it would be. It really would be. Now he's out there. He's got a couple of kids' books out. That's actually how I got in touch with him, through his website. So there we go. Thank you.
And so what? He's a children's author.
He is, yeah. Well, I don't think he's still pursuing it, but he has written two books about an uncle wizard.
I don't think I would have predicted that's where that guy's career would have gone when I first heard those emails.
Where would you have predicted?
Well, they just, you know, when I think of kids authors, I'm thinking of like more optimistic outlooks, like a little more positive. Whereas,
you know. That's fun. I think it's exactly what I was not surprised at all. I thought, well, he's funny. He's quite creative. He's got a way with words. And he's into cool comedians. So lots of comedians write kids' books. So it wasn't totally outside the realm of possibility. But are you thinking maybe living under a bridge? Doing things for money is where you thought he was going to end up.
No. I don't know. Just probably a little more. Well, you know, in our email, he describes the violence of stabbing yourself with a fork in the knee.
That's what he. Yeah.
That's rarely occurs in kids' books.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, I think maybe you've only heard the one email from Dickie Anders to the XFM show. I've heard them all repeatedly. So saying he's repeatedly stabbing himself. Sorry, no. Saying he prefers to spend his weekends stabbing himself in the knee. That's just classic Dickie to me. That's the Dickie I know. And And I am so grateful. Thank you, Richard Anderson, for providing.
Yeah, that's great. I would love to be roasted by
you. It was a total favour. I asked him to do it, and he graciously did. So moving on to break six, Ricky gives the closest thing to an ethos for the whole show, what their whole intention is with doing this XFM show on a Saturday afternoon.
But I think, I mean, there's so many shows that are, you know, nowadays on radio. I think there's a lot of stuff that's heavily formatted, you know, and there's with, you know, I don't know, presenters who are professional and have got some sort of degree of talent.
Yeah.
And an ability to sort of string a sentence together. You know, I'm thinking Chris Moyles.
Yeah.
Predominantly.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm bored with those six people. Exactly. You know, I think we need a little bit of Carl in our life.
I'm just thinking.
So they don't want, Ricky didn't want to do like a good show is basically what he's saying. He wanted to break the format.
And it's amazing how perpetually relevant that take would be. You know, you could say that now. You could say, oh, there's so many shows that are so heavily formatted. We should try something a bit different. The lack of new ideas. I guess you could go two ways. You could go, well, there's a universal truth. Like, this is just what works on radio. Which is true. Like, you know, if you look at it from a point of view of like what gets sales, what gets ratings, it's like, well, obviously you need to attract advertisers. So what's the thing that does that? But if you look at it from an entertainment point of view, maybe you would take some bigger swings.
But bigger swings mean bigger risks, means bigger and chance of failure.
This station was just like perfectly positioned, you know, they were willing to take a risk.
Yeah. So then they talk about hard rubbish and people sorting through their stuff. And Steve was just stunned that someone was going through his bins and then ended up selling it around the corner.
Maybe this is an Australian thing, but like that's not considered like poor form, you know, in where we're from. Like there's a weekend where you can put your hard rubbish out. It's like for one weekend. And people like the streets are buzzing with people going through each other's crap.
Yeah. That picture that Ricky paints, I actually think I've got a grab of it, but I think I've forgotten to load it onto the roadcaster. So bear with me. But yeah, going, wait, it says, okay, grab rubbish. Where is it? Do I see it? Rubbish? No, I don't think I've got it. But he does that little run of the family getting out of a car to go and go through the rubbish, like, oh, this is it's a needle. That's I've seen that once a year, basically.
We're not painting ourselves as the most sophisticated group of people, are we?
People get
rummaging through our neighbor's
and
trash.
There's been times in my life where I've been very excited when I see piles of hard rubbish outside someone's houses. Particularly there was like a time where it was very cool in high school, early high school, to find kids' bikes in hard rubbish and get around on little kids' bikes. That was
we did that. We would, you know, we'd make these Frankenstein bikes, like a big wheel at the front, little wheel at the back.
Oh, that's cool.
And we'd make a fleet of them because there was like 10 kids in my street. And we would then ride them like a parade down around the shops. And people loved it. People were like beeping us because they were like all these weird looking. We made like an exercise bike. You know, those old school exercise bikes we made. We like took the whole frame off so that you could actually ride it. Like we made all of these Frankenstein bikes.
Quite handy.
We'd ride them. Yeah, we'd ride them down the down to the shops, and people would be beeping us and like waving. It was so much fun.
Nothing like that. We just find little kids' bikes, ride them for 20 minutes, and then throw them into a bush.
Yeah, there's a lot of that as well. dropping them off cliffs. You know, you ghosty where you like push.
Yes.
Them out.
Yeah.
Did you call it ghosty?
Yeah.
You jump off the bike and the bike keeps going with no one on it.
But we'd also do, there was a place, Hillary's Boat Harbour, with a jetty. And you'd ride off the jetty into the water and then didn't care.
So how would you stop it from sinking? Or would you just let it sink?
You wouldn't. But then there was
what? It goes to the bottom and then it's gone?
Yeah. All for that great moment. No, you would try to hang on to it, but it was not the end of the world if you lost it. And there was someone that did have a better bike, like a suitable sized bike, which had a rope attached to it. So that was
a good idea.
Yeah, that was.
Because I was always thinking if you put pool noodles on the frame, that was always my plan.
Oh, genius.
So that it would float because we used to do it into a dam. We built a jump into a dam, but the water was like brown, so you couldn't see the bike. So you just have to swim down and fish around for it until you could find a seat. and then like haul it back out.
You know, I look at you, Zach, and I go, all right, comedy guy, TikTok, megastar, radio host, family man, loves bees and gardening. But then whenever, the more we talk, the more I get this picture painted of your like real extreme sports upbringing. Like you're a really good surfer. You were building bikes out of old exercise bikes, sending them off into dams. It sounded like you were really getting amongst it.
There was a lot of kids in my street and we spent a lot of time in the bush.
Didn't we all? So many things happened in the bush.
Great times.
What happened in the bush stays in the bush. Then on to break seven, the idea for the OB from Carl's place comes up. Carl doesn't like it. He points out a technical issue.
Yeah, but if we're doing OB, we need to get like a car outside with a big aerial on it, and well, the parking's bad around our way.
What do you mean you have to do a, what do you mean?
To do an outside broadcast.
Can't they put in an ISDN line just for the day?
No, because it'll make a mess of the wall, and I won't get my deposit back. So we'll leave that.
Such a huge effort, and here we are 20 years later. I did 2 weeks of a national show in a one-bedroom unit in Perth with a little codec box smaller than my Rodecaster, and I was broadcasting to the whole country.
In saying that, they still use ISDN lines to connect the studios and stuff. It's remarkable how little some of the technology has evolved.
That's true. Yeah. Well, they use. I don't know what the difference is between ISDN and codec. I think codec is maybe a signal thing. But we do a lot of codec stuff. But yeah, the days of parking the giant truck with the aerial, that's reserved now, it seems, just for TV broadcasts doing like live crosses.
We did do this on our radio show, though, on our late night show. We broadcast from my co-host's home because he lives at, you know, we were like, he was like 24 at the time and he was living at home. And so that was the gag. Rather than the futon, selling the futon, it was like Dom's mum had invited us over for the night to have a sleepover. So we all, you know, we invited the country. It's like everyone's going to Dom's house for a sleepover. But we did, like, we had to have a tech there. He did show up in a van. It wasn't like, we didn't have like an aerial, but he had a big, you know, like a stack.
Like this huge, big mixing desk thing.
Yeah, big desk and everything. It took up half the lounge room. And so we're in there and our, you know, in our pajamas in his lounge room. There's like three of us in like half the room's recording gear. It was good fun.
Were you in pajamas? Did you play sleepover activities? Did you build a fort? Did you do truth or dare?
We were in pajamas. We bought special pajamas for it. I forget what we did. Dom made us creamed rice. That was his big thing that he liked to do at sleepovers, apparently, or like to do late at night, was eat this creamed rice. Because to me, that sounds like the most disgusting food in the world. Like two words that should not go together.
Yeah. Did you, when the lights were turned out and you were lying in your little beds and it was all dark, did you start just talking about girls?
Man, are you still awake?
Yeah. Oh, did you see Sarah today? Oh, good times.
No, we didn't actually sleep over. I went home after the secrets of the trade.
You didn't commit. My God. I feel betrayed. It wasn't a sleepover at all. No sleep took place. Then move on to the Rockbusters Clues, which features a rare Carl laugh. Rockbusters Clues are what they are. Features the most offensive one, the Puff Daddy clue.
Yeah, it doesn't even make any sense.
It doesn't make sense. Terrible.
I still got it from the I remember I got two of them not really understanding how I got them. Like just from the initials. I was like, well, it has to be Puff Daddy and Destiny's Child, but I don't understand how the clues connect to them.
Oh, well, that's good of you. That your mind didn't go down offensive pathways.
Well, but it doesn't even make sense. Like, how could it?
But it does like, from Carl, because that is what, well, okay. Because you don't have the full history. He runs out of good ideas and it starts being accents are introduced.
To Rockbusters.
Very tenuous connections to the actual band names come up.
What does, how do accents come into it?
Well, So one is Chris de Burgh, and the clue is the the Jamaican fella spots the The Jamaican fella spots the iceberg or something.
Right.
And it's Chris de Burgh. And that's Chris de Burgh, apparently.
Well, I thought Destiny's Child was one of those tedious ones where you have to, he breaks it down into syllables. Des Tiny Child.
Des Tiny's Child, yes. So the this is week three of the final, I think it's week three of Rockbus is achieving its final form, and it's already starting to bend the parameters of what makes
sense. Band Girls was amazing.
Yeah, we ain't got a winner for the first time ever. What are you talking about, Boyzone?
And he was so excited by that. He was so excited as if that was like a point that he had won, like he had beaten the audience.
Well, that's the thing we've observed is Carl doesn't want people to win competitions. That's happened a couple of times where it's like, well, you didn't get the qualifier, so we can't give you the DVD. We'll hold on to it next week.
Because I agreed with Ricky and Steve when they were talking about Boyzone. They're like, there can't be a better one. I was like, yeah, what could it be? That fits so perfectly. But Ben Gulls was better.
Always. It came from Carl's mind. Of course it's better. So then on to break eight, Educating Ricky Part 2. I'm committed to this treatment.
It sat there.
Oh, so sorry. I should introduce this clip. It's Carl explaining doctors used to put toads in their patients' mouths.
It sat there, and these toys closed the mouth, and it used to annoy the doctor. Yeah. Right? So what they did, they used to get a toad and put it in the mouth.
Rubbish.
Okay, keep talking.
And that way they couldn't close the mouth because either they'd squash it.
Right.
Or apparently you're not allowed to lick a toad's back.
I particularly love the conjecture of, oh, they did it because doctors would be annoyed that patients kept just shutting their mouth. The idea of a doctor going like, oh, God, if you don't keep your mouth open, I'm bringing the toad out.
It's like, where would they, as if what, they've got like just a cupboard full of toads ready for this.
They got a little pond in the corner of the surgery. And also more good producing from Steve, stopping Ricky from interrupting so Carl could get through it. This then brings me to this week's edition of Carl Advice. So we've had in the past, if you've got problems, don't think New York's the answer. If you go to the jungle, always bring a knife. And this week's Carl advice...
You should never lick a toad's back.
It's good advice.
It is. It's advice you can take with you into your life. Never lick a toad's
good,
back.
I got some good Carl advice this week because I put up a video on my Instagram of a snake that's living on my balcony.
Huge.
Python. It's...
I saw it.
And Amber responded, who must be a listener.
Yeah, we've heard from Amber a couple of times. Yeah, Amber, hello.
Because Amber said, I hope you've got a knife on you in case it swallows you up to your knees.
Good advice. Good advice. Yeah. Thank you, Amber. That's so good. So the saying, frog in your throat. So Carl goes through his explanation, which involves doctors and nonsense. I looked it up. The expression to have a frog in one's throat first appeared in the United States during the 1800s, and it comes from the fact that a person so afflicted sounds as if he is croaking like a frog. All of the stories floating around the internet about frogs being a medieval cure for various maladies is apocryphal. So not only does it give the answer, that sounds like a little swipe at Carl. All other stories floating around the internet are apocryphal.
Well, there's this book, right, that I think is considered pretty much like the benchmark for phrases and fables. Isn't it Brewer's Guide to Fables? And I don't know, because I listened to this, I used to listen to this UK show Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. You ever listen to this? It's like people call in with questions and other people have to call up with answers, but it doesn't sound that interesting, actually, when you say it like that, but it is interesting. But and it's often there's often questions about what's the origin of this saying, and basically it's
so they stole the idea from this.
Yeah. Basically, the if you have this book, it means that you can answer all these questions. And then I saw the book in a secondhand shop, and I didn't buy it.
Ah, but wait, hang on. You love going to those big secondhand book sales, didn't you? Buy like the pig farming book for beginners.
No, it was pig farming for profit.
Pig farming for profit, and you didn't pick up the mysteries book?
I know. I'm kicking myself. I'm looking at one on my shelf now that's just called Furniture, and it's a book of furniture from like the 1800s. It's like pictures of different chairs. I love old books. They're so funny.
Does what it says on
the Before the internet, they're just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. Break nine, Richard Anderson's been back in touch. And then I think it's the first time that Carl brings up jellyfish and his dislike for them, doesn't understand what they do. I think this is like a notable moment that in Series 2, Episode 11. I think it's the first time Carl brings up jellyfish. So then break 10, the police are causing a bit of a stare, educating Ricky part 2. The takeaway fable, don't judge a book by its cover. It's the story about the guy who the cop thought was drunk, but he just had a glass eye.
This is Carl's worst contribution ever.
So dumb.
it's just nothing. It's not even like, it's just nothing. And, you know, he always likes to have a big reveal. And what's his phrase? He goes like, it's like a very, I think a very regional thing. Like, I think a lot of people would use it. He's only got a glass eye. Mm. Like, he kind of picks up a little bit when he does like the big reveal.
See, I think he's even misread a joke about someone appearing glassy-eyed.
Yeah,
and right. Then it's a joke about a cop who had an actual glass eye, and he's taken that and read it, given it to us as a fact.
As Steve points out, he's like, you don't get pulled over without having any other evidence of being drunk.
No. But
just they're not searching everyone's eyes, going, how glassy are they? And then also, wouldn't have he only had one glassy eye?
Yes.
And the other eye non-glassy?
Yeah. And wasn't he able to say, oh no, it's a glass eye, officer? So he adds that the takeaway fable is don't judge a book by its cover, but then he adds this.
Can you just, you know, just watch what you say? Don't always jump to conclusions.
More Carl advice on the show. Watch what you say. Don't always jump to conclusions. It's good advice. Then they move into the song with the story, The Kinks, Lola. And then break 11, they have no winner for Rockbusters, which he's so proud of. He has outwitted everyone. He really wanted to not give away that prize, as we've already stated. But then they twist his arm to giving it to someone. And the winner says, Carl, you're a moron. And Carl has this fantastic comeback.
Well, if I'm a moron, I might get your address wrong when I send them to you.
Ooh. Coming right back at you, Paul. Yes.
Carl! Don't tangle with Carl. Unless you want to get there.
Of like comebacks your mum would give you in primary school. I don't know if you ever got that, but like I had like a lot of freckles when I was a kid, and my mum would be like, oh, it just means that the sun loves you. And I'm like, oh, great. I'll use that at school. And the kid would be like, yo, you freckle fart from Kmart. And I'm like, the sun loves me more than it loves you. And I knew immediately as I said it, I'm like, that's not good. That is not good.
Well, I was told those things as well. And that like in those classes about like how to stop bullying, their advice was terrible, and I knew that as a kid. It's like, just turn to them and say, maybe it was one my mum gave me. It's like, just turn to them and say, no, I don't like this. And even as a kid, thinking like that, no, I'll just get punched. That's, you can't reason with school bullies. But do you remember what the comeback to the sun loves me more than you was? Did he really stop to think about his life choices?
Like, oh, yeah, he is loved by the sun, isn't he? I wish I had some. No, it was just, that continued for a little while. Yeah.
All right, that's the end of the show. They end on a song for the ladies. So Zach, do you have a favourite bit from Series 2, Episode 11?
The futon stuff. How excited Carl is when he gets a gets a sellout. And also him turning around to being against the idea. And I love there's a little bit, I think we didn't mention it, that, you know, because he's talking about he doesn't want holes in his walls and stuff. But there's a little bit where he starts to get, he asks a few questions. So how long will we be there for? Mm. Is it just 2 hours? And you can see him ticking over. He's warm into the idea.
He starts, exploring some of the details.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I love that too. I particularly love the first email from Richard Anderson. So that's I'll make that my favorite bit. Next week, Series 2, Episode 12, we get the story of Carl joining the Crusaders. He also tells us what you never see an old man doing. It's a big gag. In the history of the show that's coming up next week, Carl tries to confuse a computer, which is thoroughly delightful. And we get the origin of yet another saying, Zach, giving someone the cold shoulder.
And there's heaps more. Interesting.
So that's coming up. You can contact us at carlypilkboyspod@gmail.com, Instagram carly.pilkboys. And if you'd like to hear the Brady Brett Boys, Series 2, Episode 5 of The Office, going to be out in a couple of days. Well, Patreon, you know where to find it. All right, Zach, we'll see you on the next one.
See ya.
And now please enjoy a very, very short extract from the conversation I had with Ross Noble when I asked him if he remembers Carl Pilkington, Ricky Gervais, XFM, you know, the early 2000s, that whole thing. Enjoy.
I'm a big fan of the old Ricky Gervais XFM radio show from the early 2000s. And one that I listened to just the other day, Ricky puts a hypothetical to Carl that you asked him to ask him. It was about, like, what would Carl do if he woke up one day and had ladies' boobs? I just wanted to know, how did you come to know of Carl? Were you listening to the show back then? Because your name comes up quite suddenly in an episode. I thought, oh my God, Ross Noble knew about Carl very early on.
Oh God, yeah. So basically, Ricky used to be. I knew Rick because he used to be the. He was the Ent manager at the university, you know, before he was a performer.
At Yulu, right?
Yeah. So I knew Ricky, and he was a mate. I was good mates with Robin Innes, who who used to support him on tour and stuff. So I knew Ricky before The Office. In fact, when they were doing The Office, I said to, because Steve used to do stand up, you know. So he was like. He would do like oak spots and stuff, and I remember talking to them and saying, I said, oh, what are you up to, you know? And they went, oh, we're writing this sitcom about an office. And I remember thinking, yeah, that's probably never gonna go anywhere. So Carl was a producer at XFM, and I just sort of knew him. I think he used to be the producer for, I think it might have been like Christian O'Connell, maybe used to, but I'd been in and done, you know, like XFM. So I sort of knew him. I knew him from that as well. So yeah, it was just kind of, kind of late 90s, early 2000s, just knocking about. And then, I used to listen to their show. I used to listen to their show because they were on for a while, and then I think they got sacked and then they went back. So I used to listen to them when they first started. In fact, I stood in for Sean Hughes. He used to have a radio show on what was JLR at the time, BBC London. And I stood in for him one day, and I got Steve Merchant in because I went, he's a good sidekick. I'll nick him off Ricky.
Oh, I would love it if that was on the internet somewhere, that old show. I'd love to hear that.
But you know, it was one of those things where, like, around that time, and then they started working on, and then Ricky started on the 11 o'clock show, and there was a bit of a, you know, and that was the time where, around that sort of time, that was when So, like, for example, Sacha Baron Cohen, he was,
yes, yeah,
he was sort of knocking around at that time. But before they all, you know, before they all got on telly, we all just, you know, you just bumped into people.
Yeah.
Just around radio, on the circuit and all the rest of it.
All right. So I hope you enjoyed that. Sorry if it's a bit shorter than you thought it might be. But yeah, I was just conscious of the fact that the reason he was talking to me was to promote his tour for the radio show that I do. Not to reminisce about someone else's career 20 years ago. But here's the thing. Ross said next time he's in Brisbane, where I live, if I come to the show, just hang around and I can come backstage afterwards and we can talk comedy all the live long day. So who knows? I might take my recorder with me and just see if we can then in person have a bit more of a dedicated long form chat about Carl, about the show, just about comedy in the early 2000s, because I'd love that. Ross is a legend and hilarious. Okay, thank you so much. We'll see you on the next one. Bye.
Shiny, shiny boots of leather.